Hi, I'm Andrea Loyan, Vermont Edition producer, and I just wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening, and enjoy.
Next, we head to Capitol Hill, where a government shutdown looms yet again. A shutdown would mean a freeze on paychecks for the millions of people who work for the federal government, and a pause on many government services. Today, the Senate will move forward on a stopgap measure while Republican leaders in the House struggle to come to an agreement. They hold a razor-thin majority and can only afford to lose a couple of votes there. We're joined now by U.S. Representative Becca Ballant to help us talk through what's going on in Washington. Representative Ballant, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me. Good afternoon.
Well, we have unfortunately heard this story before about a government shutdown looming because Congress is in a stalemate on budget negotiations, and they need to reach an agreement on a shutdown will start on October 1st. That is this Sunday. Representative Ballant, what's the tenor been in the House from your vantage point as a member of the minority party?
Well, I want to start off by saying that actually this is not like other shutdowns, potential shutdowns, because it is not, in fact, a disagreement that's happening between Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a battle of Republicans against Republicans. There's a civil war really raging within the Republican conference in Congress, and there is a handful of extremist Republicans who essentially are not willing to go along with plans that McCarthy has put forward for votes that we've had over the last few weeks. So I just want to make it clear, Democrats
Speaker Kevin McCarthy, for listeners who might not be
familiar. That's right, House Speaker McCarthy. And so the reason why I want to mention this is because actually you had a compromise that happened back in June when we were in danger of defaulting. And we had Democrats, Republicans, and the White House come together on an agreement to fund government. And what has happened in the last few weeks is this small minority within the Republican conference has said they will not follow the law. That's what we're talking about. That bill was signed into law. It was about the funding that we would have this year. And they've said, no, we're not, even though it passed both houses and the White House signed it, we actually want to go back in and make more cuts. And McCarthy is trying to bring those extremists back into his conference, but so far he has not been successful. I want you to know this because Democrats are actually not part of this conversation. We have been left out. We have said to the speaker that we are willing to do what we did back in June, which is to come together for a compromise, whether it's a continuing resolution or to get our appropriations bills through. He has repeatedly said he does not want our help. And so it's very frustrating. You ask me, what does it feel like? It's very frustrating because I know that if there is a government shutdown, that it's going to impact Vermonters directly. And specifically, I'm worried about seniors. I'm worried about vets. I'm also worried about all those folks who were deeply impacted by the flooding this summer. If we shut down, then you're not going to have FEMA working at full capacity. You're not going to have those checks going out. You're not going to have people who are moving the paperwork along to get people relief so they can put in a new furnace before the snow flies. And so it's very concerning to me.
Mm. And ahead of today's show, we received a number of emails from listeners who feel seems that same frustration that you do, Representative Ballant. Margaret writes, why not put a bill forward that takes federal employees off the plate as bargaining tools? I'm a soon-to-retire federal employee and have been used as a pawn working without pay for more than 20 years during these budget debates. It's inhumane and downright rude. We also got an email from Steve in Stowe who says that representatives' pay should stop when the government shuts down. If I ran my business or my household this way, I'd have been out of business within 2 years, Steve writes. So, yeah, what other types of concerns are you hearing from your constituents in Vermont, Representative?
They are concerned that if this kind of, and I won't call it dysfunction because, again, it's not between Democrats and Republicans right now. What they're saying is if these extremists continue to hold the entire Congress and, by extension, the American people hostage and won't do what we're, you know, our basic function as legislators is to enable government to work for the people. And so it is what I see as a dereliction of their duty. And it is one other thing I wanted to mention, because I know Vermonters want to know that we're trying every possible thing to keep government open. So I want to explain one thing which might not have gotten a lot of coverage. There's something in place called a discharge petition, which we put in back in June when we were concerned that there might be a default. And that discharge petition is still active. And every single Democrat has signed it. And we only need five Republicans, the so-called moderate Republicans, to sign it. And it would be a clean, continuing resolution to keep government open while we figure out the details of the appropriations bill. So there has been an incredible amount of talk behind the scenes here with our Republican colleagues. And so far, we do not have five who are willing to sign it. And again, this it is so frustrating that real people are the people who are most going to be hurt by this. And from where I sit, the extremists in the conference are doing it for their own personal gain. Several of them are considering running for higher office next year. This is a way to elevate their profile. It's very cynical, and it is not what we were sent here to do.
Well, you mentioned, Representative Ballant, that a shutdown would affect FEMA's ability to function in places that have seen natural disasters, from Vermont to Hawaii. Just last week, you and Representative Jill Takuda of Hawaii introduced the Addressing Addiction After Disaster Act, which would effectively expand FEMA's ability to provide counseling to disaster victims, particularly ones who struggle with substance and alcohol abuse. Can you tell us more about this bill?
Yes. So as you said, Vermont and Hawaii this summer were both on the front lines of the climate crisis. And one of the things that's so clear to me is you have to help people with their immediate needs. You have to build for the future in terms of making sure that they can have safe and comfortable homes and making sure businesses come back. But you also have to be thinking about the human toll. And we know during emergencies that need for counseling and alcohol use disorder or substance use disorder treatment goes up. An interesting point that I learned was post-Katrina, that terrible hurricane, alcohol use disorder went up by 185% in the population directly impacted by that hurricane. Of course, Vermonters are also going through a lot of stress right now. There's a lot of unknowns. So essentially what this would do, the Addressing Addiction After Disasters Act, would strengthen FEMA programs to provide services for substance use disorder and alcohol use disorder following disasters. So it expands the kind of counseling and services that are covered by FEMA.
And of course, there's a shortage of people working in these fields. So what if there is more money for FEMA to provide those services, but not enough therapists or addiction counselors to go around on the ground?
This is always a concern. As you know, we have a shortage of providers at all levels on the mental health front. We also have a housing crisis, which is making it hard for us to attract and retain providers. However, I think there's always, it's important that we know that there are funding streams available for when those counselors are available and able to help their neighbors. The other piece I wanted to say, which goes back to what I was saying before, that we are trying to find willing partners wherever we can. Mm-hmm. We do have a Republican co-sponsor on my bill. It's a Republican from California. I think his last name is pronounced Mafarfa, Doug LaMarfa. And so it is important to me that on issues like this, mental health, healthcare in general, that we do not see them as partisan issues. They're not partisan issues. They're, you know, every single district is being impacted by the mental health crisis. And so I'm just very excited that he joined me as a co-sponsor on that bill. That makes it more possible to get legislation moved when you have somebody in the majority in the House willing to co-sponsor with you. So I feel very proud of that.
Well, we look forward to watching it work its way through Congress. Now, lastly, Representative Ballant, over on the Senate side, Senator Peter Welch, your colleague from Vermont, is calling on a fellow Democrat, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, to resign. Menendez was indicted recently on federal bribery charges. Authorities are alleging that they found a luxury convertible, nearly $500,000 in cash and gold bars at the senator's house. And prosecutors are saying they were given to Menendez in exchange for using his position to benefit the government of Egypt. Do you think Menendez should resign?
I do. Simply put, I do. That the indictment is shocking. The charges are very serious. And I think it's clear that the people of New Jersey do deserve someone who can fully focus on the needs of his state. And yes, it's true. You know, people will say, well, isn't he entitled to the presumption of innocence? Yes, he is, like every American. However, he's not entitled to stay in the Senate while he is going through this trial that has very, very serious accusations. And I've been very concerned for a long time that there is an eroding of faith in government. This does nothing to help us shore up the public trust in government. And it's a very, very sad day for all of us when you have a sitting senator get indicted on these very serious charges. So I do. I support him deciding, you know, that what's best for the people of New Jersey, what's better for the country, is for him to step down.
Hmm. Well, Representative Becca Ballant, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule in Washington to join Vermont Edition today.
Always happy to talk with you.
All right, we'll talk soon. That was U.S. Representative to Congress, Becca Ballant.